I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, Monday through Friday. We are here for you, and thank you for taking us along with you wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, however you're doing it. Thank you for making this show part of your regular routine. It is much appreciated. I am John Corrales, one third of the Rain and Jays. Here alone today to bring you a few things from the weekend, and then we'll continue on with our regular multi-host thing for the rest of the week. But for now, it's just me. And coming up, we've got, of course, it's a Monday show, so we'll do Bane's Big Australian Boat. We've got some talk about Jaylen Brown's defense, which is a thing that I've been working on. And Brad Stevens says that this win streak isn't really valid. And it's just pure Brad, not too high, not too low, but we'll talk about that as well. This show is brought to you today by Greats.com. They're Brooklyn's first sneaker company, offering you men's and women's styles, classic stuff, the best for less, and I will give you 15% off later in the show. Thanks to Greats.com for joining us and sponsoring the program. Okay, let's start with Brad Stevens, who, before the streak was extended to 15, before they started in Atlanta, Brad Stevens said, "We haven't played well enough to consider this win streak to be valid, in my opinion. We figured out ways to win games. We got to play a lot better. We've got to be better, and we know that. We can't get so caught up in the results of all these games and ride that emotion. We've been fortunate to win a lot of games in this streak, including Thursday night." Side note, that was the Warriors win. Continuing, "If we dig ourselves a 17-point hole every other game, it's not going to be as much fun as we've had recently." And that's Brad Stevens, not too high, not too low. And I guarantee you, if the Boston Celtics were riding a losing streak, he would sit there and say something like, "I see a lot of good things in this streak, and if we just continue to do those good things, we'll find a way to win games." Because that's Brad Stevens. Again, not too high, not too low. Brad Stevens, even keel, even Stevens. But he's got a point. He does have a point. Because the Boston Celtics just can't go keep getting down into these huge holes. It's just not something that they should be doing. Like, the comeback against Golden State was amazing. To outscore them by 21 over the last less than quarter and a half, basically 16 plus minutes of the game. That was fun and all, but they can't keep doing that. That's just not something that is sustainable. The Charlotte game really got down huge because Kyrie broke his face. They can't do that. That's not going to be a comeback that happens all the time. Getting down by 15 or 16 to the Hawks, giving up 35 first quarter points, can't do that all the time because it's eventually that's going to catch up to you. However, I suppose if it eventually comes around, then it's going to come around because they can't keep winning all the time, right? They can't keep winning all the time. They're 15-2. They've won 15 straight games. Something's got to give, but I digress. Brad Stevens has a point. And the point is this: the offense is not really running very well. The Celtics' offense is largely, for lack of a better term, terrible. Terrible offense. So they're currently ranked 22nd. And What's great is their defense is ranked first, and it's been ranked first for quite some time. And coming into the season, we thought the exact opposite. We thought, oh, God, I don't know how they're going to figure this defense out. But that offense looked good in the preseason, and we came into this preseason thinking, well, we'll just have to outscore people. We'll just have to outscore them, and whatever happens defensively, we'll make up for it by just scoring 130 points. And they're not doing that. They're much more individual players. They're much more one-on-one players. Their passing is down near the bottom of the league or the bottom half of the league. Their offense is generally it goes long stretches without being very good at all. When it gets good, it really looks good. They have some stretches of passing that's just beautiful, but it just doesn't happen often enough. Part of it, a lot of rookies, a lot of young guys, the bench, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, they can run hot and cold, especially Smart. And right now, Smart is struggling. I think Marcus Smart will eventually break out of this. This is pretty typical Marcus Smart, right? Like, didn't last season. Remember, we had a whole big stretch of Marcus Smart looking terrible, and then he turned it around. The next blizzard where he gets a chance to shoot in a gym for himself for a little while, he's going to snap out of this slump, and he'll everybody be like, oh, okay, Marcus is a good shooter again, or for a little while anyway. But anyway, side note. The Celtics offense definitely needs to be fixed. And I don't know if they're expending too much energy on defense. That's a question I was asked on Twitter. I don't know if that's necessarily it, but there's something to that. There's something. You know, you work your ass off on defense, and then in offense, you're not as active. There's a little bit of that, sure. But I think if you follow Brad's logic and say, you know, do what you do best. Well, what do these guys do best? Kyrie Irving is a ball handler, and he can create his own shot and do crazy things and score. Marcus Morris, who is now averaging 13-plus points, and against Atlanta was single-handedly bringing the Celtics all the way back. Can't really complain about the offense when the one guy who's going one on everybody is drilling things. But that's Marcus Morris. He's going to do that. His shot selection drives some people crazy. He's not going to get a ton of assists or maybe any assists, but he'll take people one-on-one. He can create his own shot. Last season, we didn't have anybody to create their own shot. So they had to pass. They had to pass and spread the floor and put a ton of shooting around Isaiah Thomas so they could crack open some driving lanes, and then Isaiah went in and did Isaiah things. This year, Tatum can create his own shot. Jaylen Brown is developing the skill, creating his own shot. Kyrie Irving obviously can. Al Horford's being more aggressive, attacking closeouts, pump faking, driving, and finishing off that way. So there are times where Horford would have passed in last season. He's driving and actually attacking the rim this season. Guys are creating their own shots. Terry Rozier likes to create his own shot a lot. Marcus Smart will do it from time to time. I mean, a lot of these guys are able to just go ahead and do what they do. Like, they just can create better than players could last season. So there's going to be some of that stands to reason that there's not going to be as much passing. I would like to see a little bit more passing. But of course, I want to see perfection. I want to see an offense that flows and a read and react that can spend 16 seconds of a shot clock just throwing the other team into rotation and watching them spin defenders around and pass, 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 and dunk. Or pass, 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 open corner three. Like, that's what you want to see every damn time. And then you want to see them go down on defense and shut a team down and win every game by 25. But in reality, that's not going to happen very much. And in reality, this team, this construction, these guys, they're better individual players. You got better talent. And with more talent comes the ability to create your own shot. And so it definitely needs to improve. The offense absolutely has to improve. How they improve, What they end up becoming, I don't know. We gotta realize that 17 games into the season, a lot of these guys have missed time. Jaylen Brown played 17 games. He's the only – well, Tatum played 17, but he only played 9 in that one game where he left with the ankle injury. So he basically missed that game. Horford's missed a couple of games. Kyrie missed the game. Smart's missed time. Morris missed half of the season so far because of his trial. So there aren't many guys who have played in all 17 games. The list is Aaron Baines, Terry Rozier, Jason Tatum, although technically, like I said, one of those games he played 9 minutes and left, and then Brown. So there is some continuity. There are issues with the offense and their continuity. And there hasn't been any practice time. That's been a problem. They haven't been able to practice. They practiced, I think, before the Atlanta game for the first time in a month. That's because they play every other night. They played Friday, then they played Saturday. Then they're off Sunday, they play Monday, then Wednesday, then Friday. And then they have a back-to-back, and then they alternate. They have 2 days off between Monday and that Thursday. And then they go just basically every other day until January. That's the schedule. That does not leave any practice time. That's hard to pull off. So the offense definitely needs work. The defense is doing great. And I'll talk more about the defense in a minute. Speaking of great, Greats.com is our new sponsor. And Greats.com offers a wide array of shoes. And like I've said before, anybody who knows me knows I'm a sneaker guy. I love kicks, not just basketball shoes. I love wearing sneakers in a dressy way. I like finding good casual shoes. I have dozens and dozens and dozens of sneakers. And the reason I don't have more is luckily I have nephews that I've been able to give away some of my sneakers to, but I have a ton of sneakers and I like to wear them in a lot of different ways. If you go to greats.com, this is basically like my dream site. They got very cool sneakers. They are Brooklyn's first sneaker company. They offer men and women's styles and classic stuff, all right? This stuff looks clean. It looks fresh. You can wear this stuff anywhere, all right? A night out, if you want to get on the boat, you can wear these with some shorts and a polo if you're like, it's not summer here anymore, but some of you down in Australia, summer's coming. You can wear your shorts with some of these. Boom. You got a good classic look. You've got the rugged sneaker look. You've got some leather styles. You've got some high tops, some low tops. You got a lot of different options, like I said, for men and for women. Their best sellers include the all leather Royale lace up and the Worcester slip on. The holidays are coming up. So you can go to greats.com. If you don't want to buy them for yourself, if you got a sneakerhead in your life, you can go to greats.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get 15% off your first purchase with the code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON. Locked on. It's a great gift for the holidays. If you want to get yourself a gift, you can go use that promo code, 15% off your first purchase with the promo code Locked On. Go to greats.com today. I'm going to call up a tweet here to get me into the next topic. At Touche Bagouche. I'm sorry. I love people's Twitter handles sometimes. Touche Bagouche, Tushar Patel. If Jaylen Brown continues to play with this much heart and effort and can improve his percentage at the free throw line, kid is going to be a two-way stud and MVP candidate in a few short years. Now, that's very ambitious. I hope you're right as far as the MVP candidate stuff goes. He might be. He might be. He could be. But I'll tell you what. His defense right now is phenomenal. Phenomenal. The way he's been playing defense has been just beautiful. And his offense, the past couple of games especially, he has just – he reached another level, 27 points on 10 of 13 shooting against Atlanta, 22 points, only shot 7 of 18, but 3 of 8 from 3. I mean, he has been amazing. Now, of course, he is dealing with personal tragedy, the death of his best friend, which I have not seen an official cause of death, but it is my understanding that his friend committed suicide. And as you guys know, as an aside, I definitely want to take a moment to just say, if you know of anybody who is displaying any sort of signs of depression, get that person some help. Ask that person just, how you doing? What's going on? Do you need anything? Just ask that person for some help. Direct that person to a doctor, a national suicide prevention hotline, anything. Any sort of little question, any sort of little comment, anything you can do goes a long way. A lot of times, people who are having these thoughts feel isolated, alone, embarrassed. It's very difficult to understand what mental illness does to people, but it doesn't make sense, okay? What's going on in people's heads, it doesn't make sense to you, okay? They're not thinking the way you would say, well, just do blah, blah, blah. It doesn't work that way. Something is gripping people. So just talk, ask questions, get people help. That's a cause that's very important to me. You know why. I've talked about losing my best friend 20 years ago, which is why I can't believe that Jaylen Brown is doing what he's doing, because I can't even imagine just existing. I can't imagine being able to stand for more than 5 minutes at a time after getting that phone call. And not only that, he went out and performed against the Warriors, and then he went to Atlanta, where he's from, where his friend is from. He visited with the family, and he put on a performance, an awesome performance in front of friends and family. Jaylen Brown is just, he has the potential to be a very, very special player. And the offense has come and gone a little bit with him. You know, the 27 points is awesome, career high, which the second career high that he set besides opening night where he had 25. The offense is a little spotty. He's trying to drive a lot. He is not particularly great finishing at the rim in traffic. He seems to be getting better, but he's had some problems with it. So it's been a little bit of an adventure with Jaylen and his offense, but he's figuring it out. He seems to be figuring it out. His defense, though, has been really, really consistent. And if you're listening to the show, I'll put it out. Obviously, we put it out Sunday night. You may be listening to it throughout the night. I have a piece that will be posting on Boston.com, specifically on Jaylen Brown's defense. So if you're listening to this before Monday morning, it will be coming out. If you're listening to this after Monday morning and you haven't gone to Boston.com, haven't seen me tweet about it a million times, then please go to Boston.com and search for it. Just click on the Celtics section. It's there. Jaylen Brown's defense has been spectacular. And you know, one thing we haven't talked about this year is the Celtics missing Avery Bradley. Think about when Bradley was gone, when he became a casualty of a cap that was lower than expected, and the Celtics had to make room for Gordon Hayward. He was the obvious guy to go because he cleared enough cap space and he brought back a player in Marcus Morris that is very functional, very necessary. So it was not what anybody wanted to do, certainly not what Danny Ainge wanted to do, but he had to do it. And in July, when it happened, we said, that's going to hurt. That's going to sting. You lost him, and then later you lost Jay Crowder, and you said, geez, we lost two of our three best defenders, that's really going to suck. That's going to suck for us defensively. But Jaylen Brown has stepped up and essentially eliminated any talk of, you know, we really could use Avery Bradley right now. Not once in this season have I seen anybody say, you know, we could really use an Avery Bradley right now. Because obviously when you're winning 15 games in a row, that kind of eliminates a lot of those kinds of comments. But regardless, his play, Jaylen Brown's play, has kind of softened that blow. And the only reason anybody right now would say we could really use Avery Bradley is kind of sentimental. I mean, sure, I'd love him. And, you know, can imagine him coming off the bench, having Avery Bradley coming off the, he'd be awesome. And an upgrade from some of the guys that we're using off the bench. But in a starting capacity, no one is sitting there saying, wow, this is good, but Avery Bradley would be better. Because he wouldn't be. Avery Bradley would not be better. And in the Boston.com piece, I'll lay out the numbers. The individual numbers show that they wouldn't be better with Avery Bradley. In fact, and this is hard to really quantify, defensive numbers, defensive statistics are tough because they involve so many other people. But the fact is that statistically, there is no drop-off. In fact, the Celtics' defense is better, and Jaylen Brown has been able to maintain some of the numbers that Avery Bradley put up defensively last year. So it's been just a wild ride. And there's some video examples and stuff on that. So I definitely want to point you in that direction. One other tweet before we move on. Lawrence at JL Smooth 2021. I know it's still early, but if the Celtics have the league's best record come All-Star break, how many All-Stars are we going to have? Al, Kyrie, and Jaylen? Well, it depends, I think. We got to look at the rest of the league and the rest of the conference's performances. But Kyrie, for sure. I would say Horford gets certainly some consideration and may be added to the roster as a reserve. And Jaylen Brown could be. He could be. I think if he can keep this, if he can keep averaging like 16 points a game, if he can keep that up there and be the second leading scorer, then yeah, I can see three All-Stars for sure. I can definitely see three All-Stars. Speaking of which, it's time for our own All-Star selections, which we like to call the Baines Big Australian Boat. Aaron Baines is a big Australian. And he spent his summer swimming with sharks, and we're just going to assume that he did so by going out there on his own big Australian boat. So we once had the Mystery Machine. Now we have the Baines Big Boat. And first up for me on the Baines Big Boat is going to be Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving has been really just great at closing out games, especially over the past couple, both fourth quarters, both comebacks in Atlanta and Golden State. He has scored, 12 in the Atlanta game, and then he scored, 12 of his points. I forget what it was. 11 of his points down the stretch in the last, 5 minutes of the game. Big-time clutch numbers. In fact, Jay on Twitter tweeted it out. 55 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 0 turnovers in 30 clutch minutes so far this season. And the clutch minutes are on the NBA website defined as final 5 minutes of a game in which the score is within 5 points. So 5 points or less, last 5 minutes, clutch time. Kyrie Irving, 55 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 0 turnovers. Part of a huge comeback against the Warriors, closing them out. Big comeback closing out the Hawks. He is definitely on Baines' big Australian boat. Also on the boat, to me, Jason Tatum, the rookie, this kid, has been phenomenal. And I especially in that Atlanta game, the two basically back-to-back plays where he went coast-to-coast and dunked, and then he kind of went coast-to-coast, sort of. It kind of a little more delayed, but dunked again, kind of behind Aaron Baines, who kind of – Aaron Baines not going to be on the boat this time around, but he basically paved the way for Tatum to be on the boat. Tatum against Atlanta, 14 points on 5 of 11 shooting. 12 points against the Warriors. Those weren't spread out over the course of the game. Those were mostly second half points and part of the comeback. And then you go back to the Brooklyn game, 19 against Brooklyn. I'm putting Tatum on the boat. And of course, I just talked about him. Jaylen Brown has been great this past week. Again, 27 points against Atlanta, 22 against the Warriors. Phenomenal, amazing, amazing defense against the Warriors. He basically shut down Kevin Durant. In fact, at Micah Adams on Twitter, at Micah Adams 13, who is an NBA writer on ESPN, tweeted out, Jason Brown's D on Durant was great. According to Second Spectrum, the Warriors averaged just 62.1 points per 100 possessions on the 29 times Brown was matched up on Durant in the half court, with Durant scoring just 7 points on those. So, yeah. Jaylen Brown, just amazing job. Amazing job defensively. Again, a write-up on Boston.com that includes some of the defense on Durant. So be sure again to check that out. All right, that's the podcast. That's the Monday show. I want to thank you all for being a part of it with me, John Corrales. I appreciate that quite a lot. Thanks to our good friends at greats.com. Remember, they are offering you 15% off your first purchase with the promo code LOCKEDON. So go to greats.com and check out their amazing array of men's and women's sneakers. Again, lots of great stuff, casual stuff, sneakers, leather, like it's just awesome stuff. Check it out. Greats.com, Locked On. Promo code 15% off your first purchase with that code. Remember to subscribe. If you're not a subscriber, you know what to do. Go search Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. We are everywhere, even on the Spotify. So go check that out and subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating. Give us a good review, please, please, because we work hard for you to get you content 5 days a week and spread the word. Let the people know, let them all know that they should be listening to us, because we are the Locked On Celtics Podcast and we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales.